Well, very clearly, some factions in Syria are taking advantage of a really strategic new situation in the Middle East, in that on the one hand, you have a significantly weakened Iran. They just endured two attacks on Israel with really no response of any deterrence from their side. You have Hezbollah with the back to the wall as far as military operations are concerned. They now are signing a or have signed a peace deal or a ceasefire with Israel. And you have Russia, who, while not with the back to the wall militarily in Ukraine, they're gaining grounds, is really having to devote a lot of its resources. So next year's over a third of the budget is going to be just for the war, the national budget, not the defense budget, the national budget for the war. So you have all the backers of the Assad regime weakened: Hezbollah, Iran, and Russia. Which means we now see how weak the Assad regime really is. And these rebel forces, led by a veritable Islamist terror group, I might add, are now gaining territory because the Assad is weak and the rest is otherwise busy.
How did we get to this point, though? I mean, the Russians seem to have had everything under control there for a while. How did we get to this point?
Well, it was a stable, frozen conflict since 2020, where it became clear that neither side, not the Kurds, not Assad, not the Iranians, not Russia, or those militant groups would be able to overcome the others. It was an equilibrium of forces. Now, this equilibrium is out of balance, and we see the result of that. The one big counterterrorism concern I have is that Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, which is the leading group of that alliance of militant forces, is an outgrowth of Al-Qaeda. Yes, they separated a couple of years ago. However, they have, apart from announcing this separation, not really shown any sincere intention to separate themselves from international terrorism, i.e., they still harbor foreign terrorist fighters from the Maldives, from Albania, even Germans among their ranks, in the areas around Idlib, which they had exerted control over since 2020. There are other terrorist groups. And HTS has never arrested or extradited any one of those foreigners and given them to their governments. They threw them out of their group. If they were resisting, they killed them, but they never handed them over. So it very much looks like a Afghanistan situation on steroids because it is a car ride away from Europe now that is developing in Syria right now.
So, nuts and bolts, what does this mean for the West, specifically the United States?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say don't bury Assad yet, right? No one has to be sad about the Assad regime. This is a real war criminal. 500,000 Syrians have been killed in this war in Syria in the last couple of years, the absolute majority from his regime and his backers, Iran, Russia, and Hezbollah. And he's not out yet. He's a strategic asset both to Iran, which needs him as a bridge to Lebanon, as well as for Russia, which has some bases, including a harbor and air bases in Syria that they like to have. So they will make sure he survives. But we see an increasing territory in Syria, which is now run by an ex-Al-Qaeda group, and this can never be good news for us.
Does Al-Qaeda have any stake or say in what this group is doing, or do they reap any benefit from what this group is doing? What about ISIS? What about some of the other organizations? I've heard that there may be several that have some stakes in this situation.
Yes, of course. Turkey certainly has a stake in it. It supports this coalition for the time being. The US troops are there exclusively to fight the Islamic State. And they've been, so far in the last days, been staying out of this fight, although there was the first attack against the US camp, as far as I understand, today by one of the rebel groups. Al-Qaeda has not a control over HTS, but HTS winning is not bad for Al-Qaeda in Syria. They're missing since HTS and its leader Jolani officially and openly broke with them. I say we are no longer part of Al-Qaeda. They're missing a flagship group in Syria. They do have small cells and individuals that are loyal to them and that are tolerated to a certain extent by HTS. And you can never guarantee once HTS is back in power that they don't rejoin Al-Qaeda because the deal at the time of separation was, and Jolani asked the Al-Qaeda leadership if he would be allowed to to separate. How that's how deep it ran at that point. The deal was, or the answer from Al-Qaeda was, you do whatever you need to do to survive in Syria. Because at that point, you had the height of the Islamic State in Syria. You had the beginning of the counter-Daesh coalition. And there was, of course, a real risk that if he wouldn't separate from Al-Qaeda, that he would be simply swept up in the counter-terrorism operations that the international community conducted in Syria and Iraq, and it would end. And hence, it was a tactical separation. So there's no guarantee that he's not going to rejoin, or even if he doesn't rejoin officially, that he wouldn't allow Al-Qaeda to operate again more freely in larger parts of Syria. And Al-Qaeda always has more plans than just one individual country. We are, as Europeans and you as Americans, very high up on the priority list of enemies that should be fought.
That's Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. G.J. Green, WTOP News.